You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as always on a Tuesday, it's the double-headed dream team of David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, deputy chairman of that institution, and also Nick Kunzer from Sanlam Private Wealth. I have to say, gentlemen, I've been moving studio in the last 24, 48 hours. I've been stringing it out a bit. And so today, I wasn't really interested in the market. I knew it was going to be a good day. But when I look at some of the prices that I'm seeing now, as I reestablish my screen presence, crikey, David, starting with you, look at Sasol. What on earth has happened there?
I have no idea. The dollar, I think the big story, the overriding story, is that the dollar has come under significant pressure.
Yes.
And that's pushed money into emerging markets. But, you know, when money goes into emerging markets, and I would put, you know, across the whole board, you don't expect the kind of gains that we're seeing today. You know, I wouldn't expect it in a share like Sasol. So why that should take precedence at a time where, yeah, oil's heading towards 40 in the Brent, but the rand has come under a lot of pressure. You know, the rand's heading below 17, or it's close to 17. So a lot of these share prices or the moves that we see are not easy to understand. But I'm going with Nick now. Just look at the screen. You know, don't try to fight it. Don't try to understand it. Go with the flow. But I've never seen, I promise you this, I've said this many times in the last few weeks, I've never seen days like this. Well, today I've never seen a day like this.
No, I mean, I'm looking at the screen now. I actually can't believe it, because this morning when Nick and I were, Nick, you and I were talking, the market was up close to 2%. The all share is up close to 3%. In fact, just over 3% now, Nick. I mean, describe the activity, describe the mood with institutional and local clients. I mean, retail clients, rather.
It's a difficult one to describe, in that unless you were involved back in March, in the middle of March, on around the sort of the 20th, when we hit the lows on the 23rd of March, and you got involved in a lot of these shares, you've made your money, you've doubled it in a few counters and maybe even quadrupled in a few others. If you're sitting back and looking at this market now, it's difficult to get excited and say we need to chase it. I do agree with David, though, and Lindsay, you and I have been talking about this dollar. It's certainly the one you have to have on your watch list now.
Yeah.
There's definitely a weakening dollar theme coming through. And it's not just the rand. David mentioned the rand, 17, 16. Now it's not just the rand. Aussie dollar hit levels not seen since January. Commodity currencies on a bit of a charge. And as David said, you know, when overseas investors and emerging markets, they want to put their money into EM and places like South Africa, in a fairly thin market, you know, $100 million from an emerging market fund can move a share 20-30% very easy in these markets. And some of these moves today are eye-watering. So, I mean, there's a sense of happy that it's here. I mean, we're asset managers and brokers, and you know, we need to have a sort of a positive glasses half full demeanor to these markets. But unless you involve already in this market, it just seems difficult to tell a client to buy Sasol when it's bounced 400% in 40 trading days. It's so difficult.
It's gone from 22 to over 100.
Lindsay, at 80. I was in the same camp saying, look, there's so much trouble ahead. If you read their update or their trading update, you know, it left you feeling a little insecure, knowing that they've got so many things that they have to get their way through or negotiate through. And against that, you know, you're looking at the fundamentals, but I think as we're learning, the fundamentals don't really count.
No, they don't. I mean, there's always a disconnect between Main Street, the market, and what happens on the sort of ground floor. And us, it seems to be that gap, as wide as I can remember it in a long time. I mean, let's take a look at Soga Sun, gents. I mean, the stock is up 60% today. Closed up 60%.
No, it's not.
10 days ago, it came up with their trading update and their full year earnings, and they said their full year earnings per share is going to be between 80 and 90% lower, 90% lower than what they thought it was going to be. And earnings per share are going to be between 30 and 35% lower. Since they came out with that warning about the 90% lower, the share price is up 70%.
Is this gaming or hotels? Just distinguish between the two.
This is, sorry, a big point. This is Soga Sun Gaming. and they came out with that warning. And then the list goes on. I mean, Sun International, we were speaking about it, how this institution, and we're so worried about it. Well, it was up 54% today, so maybe we shouldn't be too worried about it.
But no, I'm serious, and something is going on. There's no way that Sun International can be up 50% and Software Sun Gaming can be up 60% or whatever the figure was that you just quoted, Nick. There has to be something behind this, because it's either thin volumes or it's an algo or it's a load of punters just getting a little bit enthusiastic.
Market. I think it's
people drunk,
emerging
maybe.
Market algos, all of the above. I don't know. And it's not the markets that thin. But, I mean, some of these moves in these mid-cap shares are make no – I mean, something like a Sun International, it's a fairly sleepy old business. It's a hospitality. We understand that they've been running for a couple of the if you look at America, the Carnival Cruises and a couple of the airlines have had a bit of a push. But I cannot remember, and David will probably allude to it as well, in my trading career in South Africa, a 54% move in a hotel share on no news.
No.
Absolutely nothing. There's no news out.
Unless the only time you saw anything like that, and certainly not those kind of levels, was in a takeover or some bid for a company. But that wouldn't be, that would be 15-20% or something. But these, and look, the volumes, I just looked at the Togo volume, it's 38 million. So there was a bit of trade behind it. And Sun International about 9 million. So, I mean, it's not 100,000 rand or something like that. So there's a bit of volume, but if you're going to put 9 million in and you're going to lift the share, I don't know. It's just staggering. So it's you just got to go with the flow and say, look, I don't know where this is going. I can't really advise, because I have no, there's no connect between some of the results that we're getting. And Nick, And Lindsay, to me, it's the forecast as well. We don't know when gaming or I'm talking about casinos or when tourism is going to get back to normal here. Remember, we're not Europe. We're at the bottom end of South Africa.
Yes.
We're
no tourists coming in, no airplanes, nothing.
No.
I've got used to the idea that, in this profession, certainly in managing money, that markets are, as they call it, sort of forward looking. But we must be looking, I don't know, 5 years ahead right now to discount the next 5 years, because we just seem to be looking too far ahead that even makes any sense to me. I mean, some of these properties, Cecil's a case in point. I can kind of understand maybe discounting a little of the news or whatever it's going to be. But as David pointed out, without harping on too much on one share, there's still a lot of challenges ahead of them. There's a lot of problems there. They've got a lot of debt in their balance sheets. Why you'd push a stock up, 300-400% just yet, I don't know.
Let's put it this way. Now, for example, if there's a bungee jump, I don't know if either of you have been stupid enough to bungee jump, but what happens is you go down and then you bounce back up again and then you sort of find some equilibrium after 30, 40 seconds or something like that. Sasol clearly at 22 Rand per share was priced for failure. It was too cheap. At 450 to 500, it was too expensive. So where is the equilibrium? Why did Soko Sun, the hotel business and the gaming business, whatever, whichever one you want to choose, why were they down there? They were pricing the share for the fact that no one was going to stay at a hotel again and no one was going to put a couple of rands into a slot machine. So maybe this is just the equilibrium, and maybe it's punters. I don't know. But something is going on that I've never seen before. And David, you've more experience than both myself and Nick. You've never seen this before, have you?
No. And yesterday you said something very sensible to me. Not often. But
that's a surprise. Do you want to share it?
Don't be nasty, David. It doesn't suit you.
I was talking to Lindsay about, I said, at these kind of levels, I'm not a product person. I don't delve into products. In fact, your name came up in the conversation as well. And I said, this is one time that I would look to buy calls in either property or in banks, because they're either going to go to zero or they're going to go up tenfold.
Yes.
And Lindsay made a statement, he says, not yet. In other words, I don't think it's time yet. In other words, there's still more weakness expected. And before it turns around, because I think you sometimes need the good news to turn things, or a little sparkle of good news to turn it around. And I don't think we've seen it yet in this economy. maybe we're missing something big, but I haven't, you know, I'm not seeing it. Hello.
One of David's grandchildren getting strangled in the background there.
Do you know, it's you know, you can argue the fact that there's a lot of possibly money sloshing around the system, and there's a lot of places, people looking for money for a home in a zero interest rate environment. But I just, in the back of my mind, I just keep thinking that there's been so many sort of clever people in the C-suites who are coming out and, and cancelling guidance because they just cannot see what's happening down the line. And dividends have been cancelled, and a lot of commentators and people running these businesses, quite frankly, are saying they're really – they're cancelling guidance. They cannot tell you with the supply and demand what's going to happen in a month's time, yet yet there seems to be a lot of speculative froth coming into this market. And you know what, as I said, I've always said this, and you guys have repeated me before and said, you know, sometimes you've got to trade what's in front of you. It's going up for now. The points of least resistance is to the upside, clearly. And I actually said to Lindsay this morning, David, I said, I wonder if this is not one of those ones where this is a classic buy the rumor, sell the news. You know, we're going to run this market up, through a quiet summer period, you know, June, July in the Northern Hemisphere. And then when the true earnings start coming out and we realize we're not quite there yet, we're going to run over.
What do you think?
For now, it just appears to be just squeezing out.
Just before you go on, David, sorry, can I just want to put this out there now, because how much would it take, Nick, you would know more than myself and David, how much would it take for a hedge fund or a vanilla fund or some emerging market fund manager in London to say, look, South Africa is not a really big part of my life, but on the other hand, I want to be exposed to it because I've got an emerging market fund and it needs to be part of it. How much would it take to move it 3% as we've seen today? They just say, I don't care about Sokosan. We can pay 50% more or 60% more. You can pay 12% more for Sasol. I don't care. Just get me the thing and come back to me tomorrow and tell me the prices that I paid. Nick, how much would it cost to do that?
Well, I mean, not a great deal. I mean, some of these mid-cap shares, I mean, if you think how much, I mean, Tesla was trading at $1.50 billion of trade in a day. It was more than its market cap at one point.
Gosh.
So, you think about that. I don't think we don't even get close to that on the whole JSC on a daily basis. Yeah. I mean, you look at something like, let's look at something like Sogosan Gaming today. It moved 60% on the day, extraordinary numbers. Mm. It was roughly 2 to 3 times more than the daily volume, but it was 38 million rand. I mean, it's 38 million rand. I mean, if you look at what $2.2 million.
Yeah.
Now you look at something like I mentioned the demand to the Tesla. I mean, I don't even have numbers on my calculator to work it out. I mean, that's close to a trillion rand worth of tradable volume on a daily basis in one counter on the NASDAQ. To put that in perspective. So, Lindsay, going back to your question, entirely right. If you wanted to push a little market around a bit, like something like the JSC, I think we're the 15th biggest market and stock exchange in the world. You could do that with your petty cash with some of these hedge funds, really, if you really wanted to do it. And we don't even get to see half the fun and games because half the fun and games is done in the option markets. Mm. And South Africa is one of the few sort of listed capital markets and a very liquid capital market that we're the only ones that don't have a option market or an option exchange on the screen. Everything's done over the counter. Mm. So we don't even know the stuff that goes on in the background. Mm. Yet. Haven't a clue. You could have upside calls in Sogosan that cost you 38 million rand to buy a stock up 60% where your options are in the money for expiry and you make a billion. For example, we don't even see half the stuff that goes on. So there's definitely a lot behind the derivatives products.
It's quite good fun, David, don't you think? No, but it is good fun, but don't you think it's a little bit distasteful as well? Don't you think that there's something wrong? I mean, we're talking about the Sokosan, whether it be the gaming or the hotel industry aspect of their business. But I don't know if I'm enjoying this. I mean, I love talking about it. 3% up for the all share, 50% up for this, etc. But I don't know. Yeah. It's not wrong, but it doesn't sit well with me.
No, it's very difficult to understand or gauge. And, Lindsay, what I wanted to bring up with you is that, you know, you're talking to other people. You're talking to Wayne. Mm. I don't know who else you might talk to. You know, if you talk to Wayne, he looks back, he says, I'm not buying. Don't understand this market, run too far, too ahead. Now, I would take Wayne as he's with RMB, he's which is a FNB. Very large house. RMB. FNB. So he reflects a large institution. He's not going against it. You know, if he's the chaps around him were all buying and saying, listen, we like this market, we're going to hit it hard. He hasn't been looking at this market for weeks. And you know what I mean? So if he's a reflection of what's happening in the market,
yes,
and there are other people as well, so who the hell is doing this?
You know? Exactly.
Well, we know he's doing it. It's a lot of the hedge funds the JSC, a large portion of their income now is derived from their hosting. So they allow you to host a server inside the JSC in Ward Street. Yeah. Where you can plug it in to run your algos from. And a large portion of the business used to be derived out of single stock futures in South Africa. In fact, at one point, South Africa was the largest single stock futures market in the world. And of course, with the advent of CFDs and a lot of other products, it's fallen by the wayside. But that lack of earnings has now been stepped up by the hosting. You can pay a lot of money to have your server in a rack, but closer to the JSC's servers in their building in Maud Street, as opposed to being down the road like we are in Alice Lane, and hedge funds. That's the whole story in Wall Street's about now. So it's exactly what it is. It's a lot of these algorithmic systems, a lot of these trading systems, the computers are driven out of that. And the South African market might be small on the scheme of things, but my goodness me, you can make 60% turn on a stock on 38 million rand. It's not even. It doesn't even cover your cost of fiber optics to go up the road in Maud Street. Honestly, it's not even a number.
Anything happen on the stock exchange new service today? Either of you?
Quiet.
Nothing. And the S&P is flat, so we're on our own here.
I just saw MediClinic and Imperial, if you wonder. And both
those numbers
of them,
are quite good. Huh?
Yeah, they come out with the same kind of issue. You know, not something that I'm just in the mood now when they start, you know, you can see they start to publish reams of paper and you say, oh, look, I know the message is going to be the same. Is it worth really digging and delving and understanding the numbers? Because I think they're all pointing to the same issue that things are tough. And you saw Bidvest yesterday. You saw Standard Bank yesterday, you know, you saw other numbers. It's all following the same kind of pattern. So many of these, the publications or SENS announcements, I see Comair came out today.
Trading statement.
They're in business rescue saying, our results are going to be down more than 20%. Well, hello. I should hope so. So it's hard to actually get your teeth into the numbers now. What's also staggering is that I was looking at the images when I woke up this morning of the march down, down in New York. It was 11:25 their time there, past the curfew, and you start to see the news. You're getting Trump, you know, followed by 50 white men in suits, you know, and you say, oh boy, you know, in front of the church, you know.
After he sent concussion grenades to clear the...
We spoke about this,
It was like Moses crossing the sort of Red Sea as he tear-gassed all the protesters to clear his path.
It is becoming now a farce. It's becoming farcical. The fact that this chap wanted a photo opportunity during one of the worst civil unrest situations in modern US history. He stands in front of a church with a Bible, gets a photo taken, it is a disgrace.
You know what? I don't know if you ever followed George Will. He's an extremely conservative writer. You have to read his articles twice. But I urge you just to read, it's on the internet, Washington Post opinion from last night.
Oh, it's doing the rounds, opinion, what an unbelievable article. It's doing the rounds.
It's so beautiful. You know what I'm saying? He writes so beautifully. His his expressions and the way that he describes Trump. And, I mean, this is coming from a conservative. This is a man whose wife worked for the Republican Party, and I assume then he would normal times vote Republican. But he just says he's got to go. You know, and the way that he's brought down America and that. And I was listening to Ian Brenner as well, who I enjoy very much.
Yeah, he's excellent.
You know what he said? That's him, yeah. And he said, Trump doesn't care. He says that he's got a 40% base that doesn't alter. Whether unemployment is 3% or unemployment is 20%, it doesn't alter. And that's what he's playing to. And it's the marginal vote in those states, you know, because it depends on one or two swing states. And he says he has absolutely no feeling, you know, he doesn't care whether African Americans vote for him or whether women vote for him or whether those people, he's not after that vote.
He's probably not, but I just suspect, well, you know what, gents, we'll actually know a little bit more tonight, because tonight is Super Tuesday. That's when you get all the swing states are voting tonight.
Oh, okay.
And you'll get to see how many people go against for Biden. So it could be quite interesting, but I don't know. I don't know if this is not I don't have a political understanding of what's happening in America, but I wonder if it does feel like this is a little bit more than people make out. This might be a bit of a turning point.
We're hoping that. You know, we're hoping that it is. But he's just playing the same cards. He's saying, look, as long as my 40% is secure and I can hold on to that, I'm going to be okay.
I mean, I just love the irony that a couple of weeks ago, he was trying to push through different rules and he was criticizing about the nasty Chinese going into Hong Kong and being heavy-handed. Yeah. And I mean, the irony now the Chinese aren't exactly the bastions of equality either. But I mean, isn't it ironic that all of a sudden now the pictures are coming through from the American capital of Washington and how heavy-handed the police are there compared to a few weeks ago when they were criticizing the Chinese in Hong Kong? The world is not exactly in a perfect place, right?
No, I think the danger is that, you know, if Trump uses the army, which hope he doesn't, you know.
But doesn't he need congressional backing to bring the army onto American soil? There's some funny regulation.
Well, the Constitution doesn't apply to him. But if he does do that, you know, Russia.
Goodness me.
China says, well, you know, we can do that in Hong Kong. You know, Russia says, well, I can do it wherever. You know, I can do it wherever I want to go, whichever territory I want to go. Yeah, I can
quite
do
fancy Turkey in my back door.
Whatever it is, sure. Yeah. You know, Taiwan. China can go into Taiwan with the army.
Where's it stop?
Well, that's why they're watching him. So, anyway.
Gentlemen, let's have a look at the top five major moves.
We've lost it because why we brought it up is that against all this news, the markets are going up.
Fantastic. You know,
I'm saying,
what's that old adage? The market has to climb a wall of worry. Oh my goodness, it's climbing this wall of worry now.
I can tell you something now. If you, Nick, or you, David, can come up with something that takes out the 24-hour trading and comes up with an S&P 500 or a Dow or a NASDAQ that opens at whatever it is, 9:30 US time and closes at 4:30 US time and doesn't have the 24-hour system in and therefore can have a look at the gaps. I think that we're getting to the point now where we've got the breakaway gap, the runaway gap, and the exhaustion gap. I think we've got these three gaps in place now, and that means that something might happen. I mean, I'm notoriously bad at calling the markets, as you two know. But anyway, let's have a look.
I feel that the market needs to retest the old highs. I don't know why. Rhyme or reason, it just has to. It's gearing that way. It's pushing it. It's trying. It's gone through 3,000. Unless something really big happens, I think it needs to retest the old highs. And then we'll see where we are. But
double top, in other words.
I know. Mm. Yeah, it just needs to. It's trading that way.
Okay, here we go. The top five movers on the upside on my screen on the JSE Securities Exchange today. Hammerson up. I can't believe this. Sorry. It just makes me laugh. It's a nervous laugh. Hammerson up 37%. Sasol up 16.3%. Telkom, for goodness sake, up 14.4%. There's a big basket of shares been bought by some lunatic emerging market fund manager, and he didn't care or she didn't care what the price was. 14.4% up for Telkom. 11.25% up for Growthpoint. Fortress A up 11%. On the downside, Roynet down 2.25%. Sirius down 1.2%. British American Tobacco down 0.8%. And Capco down 0.6%. But it's all to do with the upside. What are the
you left out a couple there. That's on the smaller space. Yeah, it was a quiet day for Into Properties, up 52%.
You can't be
serious.
It was
a bit of a sleeper. That was up 37%. And then that little packaging company, Impact, had a quiet day, up 17% too.
Okay, give us the indices, please, Nick, because I have to sit down, actually, and put some cucumber slices over my eyes because I can't believe what I've just heard in the last 25 minutes. Nick, give us the closing JSE indices, if you would, please, on this extraordinary day.
It was an extraordinary day, and I think we'll remember this day. JSE All Share up 3.08%, 1,567 points, 52,496 the number there. The top 40 up 2.91%, 1,368 points. And as expected after a day like today, there is no red on my screen. There is nothing in the red. All in the green, led by utilities up 7%, healthcare shares up 5.25%, the financial index up 4.78%, industrials up 3.62%, even basic materials up 3.16%, and telecommunication services, a bit of a lagger, only up 1.7% today.
Okay, the volume traded, or rather the value traded, was what?
I'm going to have to refer that to David if he's got it on the screen.
It was about 25 billion, I think.
Mm, okay, well, there you go. 25
billion. I can get the latest. You know, I'll get the latest. It was with shares like Anglo's and all of those making up. Let me just get it if you really want.
Nah, 25 is a good estimate. No. That's absolutely fine. The semantics need not details.
Billion, yeah.
You spoke about a chap called George Will earlier on. George F. Will is a columnist at the Washington Post, and you were talking about the fact that he's a right-winger, or rather a conservative, not
conservative,
so much a right-winger.
Yeah,
conservative. So he's part of the Grand Old Party. He's a Republican. This is the first paragraph of what he wrote most recently, which was on June the 1st at 9:18 p.m. GMT. It says the following: "This unraveling presidency began with the crybaby-in-chief banging his spoon on his high chair tray to protest a photograph showing that his inauguration crowd the day before had been smaller than the one 4 years previously. Since then, this weak person's idea of a strong person, this chest-pounding advertisement of his own gnawing insecurities, this low-rent leer raging on his Twitter heath has proven that the phrase malignant buffoon is not an oxymoron." He really doesn't like him, eh? How brilliant is that?
Very good.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you.
But I mean, that kind of English, I couldn't think up in 1,000 years.
Exactly. Yeah. What a great writer. George F. Will, columnist at the Washington Post. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time this evening. David Shapiro is Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and Nick Kunze is from Sanlam Private Wealth. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.